yet. Good question. There's more than one, isn't there?
I imagine this one.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Okay, good to see you all. Was it something you boys said? Should take a shower before you come to church, Claire. I'm trying to think of a comment about that back row, but I think anything I say at this point is going to be get me into trouble, so I'll just move on. Right. Good to see you all. How many of you were here last week? Most people. Last week, for those of you, as a reminder for those of you who weren't, and for those of you who were, that we had Rob Jones with us last week. And he gave what I thought was a great encouragement to us, a sermon and a word which I think was just a timely word for today. And he encouraged us to run faster, dig deeper, live stronger, and reach higher. Run faster, dig deeper, live stronger, and reach higher. And you know, I think that is a really timely word for us as individuals and as a church. I mean, it's always good to be encouraged to do those things, I think, but I think there is something in the timing of what Rob brought last week about just encouraging us to press on, to run faster, dig deeper, live stronger, and reach higher. And you know, one of the reasons I think for us it's really important, and this isn't the topic of the sermon, but I just give this as a little value add, is that I really believe that we're in a season now where God is going to do something absolutely amazing in this town. We've had words from Habakkuk about, Lord, I remember, I've heard of your works, I've heard of the amazing things you've done in the past, renew them in our day. But there is a real sense growing through words of scripture that have been given to us and other churches in this town and from people who have never even heard of Caerphilly that God is about to do something amazing in Caerphilly. And I, for one, just really now believe that we've gone beyond some time and we're now very close to it's about to happen. And if you want to know more about that, come and speak to us afterwards or some of the other folks who are in prayer meetings this week. But just watch this space, guys, because I think God's going to do something incredible. And we want to be part of that. In order to be equipped to be part of that, we need to be pressing on into the things of Him. So I think that should be a goal for every aspect of our Christian lives. But this week, I want to look particularly at the aspects of worship. Now, you may be saying, or even notice, that we've talked an awful lot about worship on a Sunday as a church over the last few months. We've been privileged to have Rob Jones working with us, with the worship group here, and he's spoken on worship in the past. And you might be saying, well, hang on a minute, not another sermon on worship. But you know, as a leadership team, we really believe, well, we know that worship is really, really important for us as a church. It's as important as the teaching of the word. It's important as our prayer meetings, and it's as important as our outreach events. Worship is one of those things that we are called to do, both as individuals and as a church, which is just absolutely fundamental. It's not a negotiating point for Christians or a church. We are to be worshippers both individually and when we meet together like this. So we make no apologies for keep talking about this, but I hope I'll give you some other fresh perspectives on it as we go. So before I go any further, we talk a lot about worship, but I actually want to make sure that we're clear what we mean when we talk about this word worship. So let me pause for a minute and just say to you, when I say that word, when I say worship now, what is it that comes into your mind? What is it you think of? I'm just going to pause for 30 seconds. And you just decide what you think I mean when I say we want to be worshippers. Okay, so maybe you thought about singing songs, a bit like we've just been doing for the last 15 minutes or so. Perhaps singing some of those fantastic, great old hymns that have got amazing words in them. Perhaps some of the new wonderful choruses that we've been singing recently. Maybe when I say worship, you think of prayer time and just coming either on your own or with others in a prayer meeting before God. Maybe for you, worship is about just quietly on your own, finding a quiet place and coming before God and just seeking Him. Maybe that's what you thought, or maybe it's something else. I'm not going to ask you, don't worry. Well, you see, I would suggest that those are all ways in which we enter into worship, but of themselves, they are not worship. They help us to worship God. So singing songs helps us to worship God. Praying helps us to worship Him. But they are not worship itself. They just help us enter into worship. So can I have the next slide, please, Jonathan? Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who He is and what He's done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. Is it not moving? Do it that way. Will it go down there? Will it go down there? Is it going to work or not? Where's your mouse? There we go. So worship is our response, both personal and corporate. Personal meaning as individuals, corporate meaning when we get together, to God for who He is, what He's done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. You know, Alan, actually, when he opened the service, talked about as giving flowers to our wives. Is it always that way around? Do wives ever give flowers to the husband? Maybe Leslie gives flowers to Roger. I don't know. But that's an expression. We do that because that's an expression of our love and appreciation for our wives or our husbands, whoever else, right? And that's what worship is about. It's a response that we have, both as individuals and together, thanking God for who He is and what He's done. And we express it in the way we talk and the way we live. You see, worship is about giving honor to the one who deserves all the honor. It's about giving honor to the one who deserves all the honor. To recognize that His name is above any other name. To recognize that our God reigns and that He has authority and power. That's worship. It's giving Him all the honor and glory and of recognizing what He's done. Indeed, the Bible goes on to say that our whole lives are to be an act of worship. Did you realize that? Your whole life is meant to be an act of worship. And you do that by living in such a way that it is holy and pleasing to God. This is your act of worship, to live in such a way that is holy and pleasing to God. I don't know whether you thought of your life that way, but that is how your life is to be, an act of worship to Him that's holy and pleasing to Him. So how do we do this? Okay, well, let's look at a passage. If you got your Bibles, I won't ask how many people actually bring their Bibles to church. I was at a seminar recently when somebody said, you know, this book, the Bible, apparently it is available in written form as well. No, never mind. John chapter 4, it's one of the Gospels, the four Gospels, John chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. And this is a well-known story. This is Jesus meeting with a Samaritan lady. And He meets her and He reveals various things to her about her life. And this is her response to Him. She says, "Sir," addressing Jesus. The woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We, the Jews, worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." So what is it that Jesus was saying to this Samaritan lady? You see, she was asking Jesus a question. She was asking Jesus a question about where they should worship. She said, "We Samaritans worship on a mountain. You Jews worship in Jerusalem. Where should we worship? Where should we meet?" See, in the Old Testament, you could only get near to God. Those of you who've done the Bible course will know this. You could only get near to God by going into the temple in Jerusalem. And even then, only the high priest, which was able to go into the holy presence of God in the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year. And the Samaritans worshipped on the mountain where Moses sacrificed to God. See, again, making the place where they worship more significant than the act of worship itself. But Jesus says to her, "Woman, actually, it's not about the where, it's about the how. It's not about where you worship, it's about how you worship." And Jesus went on to say, "A time is coming." So what was he referring to? Well, he was referring to the time later on where he would ascend to heaven. And if you remember, he told his disciples to wait. And he said he was going to send to them a helper, a comforter, his Holy Spirit, to fall upon them. And you know the story in Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes upon his disciples and completely transforms their lives. And he was saying that a time is coming, that was that time, when he will send his Spirit to fill his disciples and also to live in all believers. So the Bible tells us that if you have given your life to Jesus, then his Holy Spirit has come and dwells in you. Your Holy Spirit is alive and in you today. And he's saying that we no longer need a temple or a mountain to worship God. For every person in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, every Christian, is a temple of God. Now, you don't believe me saying that. Go look it up. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" We carry God's Spirit within us. We are a temple and we are worshippers. So when we read that we must worship in spirit, which is what Jesus said, worshippers, true worshippers read in spirit and truth, this means we worship by having the Holy Spirit alive with us, helping us to worship. But Jesus went on to say that it's not enough just to have the Spirit working in us. He said we also need to know the truth, spirit and truth. See, this means that truth matters. It's not enough just to go and worship. You have to know about the person whom you're going to worship. You have to know the truths that you want to declare. So we must know who we're worshiping and why. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into that truth. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth." You see, it's through Scripture, the revealed Word of God in the Bible, that we learn the truth. And as we read Scripture, we hear it preached, we sing songs with great scriptures in them, that the Holy Spirit guides us and helps us to discern the truth of God's Word and apply it in our lives. That, folks, is worship. It's knowing the Holy Spirit was within us, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in order that when we study the Scripture, the Spirit helps us understand. When we sing scriptural songs, the Holy Spirit is allowed by us to work and apply what we're singing, what we're reading, what we're hearing, and obey it so that the Holy Spirit can transform us. You see, Jesus talks about it's what's in the heart that matters, not what's on the outside. And the Holy Spirit's role is to transform us from the inside out as we worship God. So worship can change us. Now again, don't get me wrong, it's not what we do that changes, but when we worship, we meet with God and he can change our lives. And as the Holy Spirit changes us, we start to bear the fruits of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness and self-control. Did you ever realize that you can gain those by worshiping God? So, you'd be delighted to see I'm halfway through at least here, so. How does this apply to singing songs? Because I want to now bring it down to actually as doing what we've just done a few minutes ago. And what we're going to do in a few minutes as well. Well, we can sometimes give the impression that worship is simply about singing songs, and I hope I've made it very clear for those of you in the room now and those who choose to listen afterwards. By the way, do you know you can listen to all these things online on the church website? So if you miss one, you can go online. There's an audio section on the website and hear these. So for example, if you missed Rob last week and would like to hear what Rob shared, it's available online. And all the series on Mark we've done, all online as well. But as I mentioned, we can sometimes give the impression that worship collapses down to singing songs. It doesn't. However, singing songs, whether it be, as I mentioned, the great hymns or wonderful new choruses, are a way in which we can give honour to God as we express our thanks to him for who he is and what he's done. It is also a way we can worship him in spirit and truth. You know, the songs we sing have amazing truths in them, amazing truths, often directly from Scripture. Just think of the ones we sung earlier. My favourite chorus was up there earlier. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love. Whoever pleads, lives and breathes for me. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. They are incredible truths straight from Scripture. And that's what we have the privilege to sing. And as we sing these truths, if we allow the Holy Spirit to minister into our lives, we do enter into worship as we express our heartfelt thanks to God, giving all the honour and the glory. There's no magic about music. Just hear me again. There's no magic in the music. But actually, we all know that music can have a real effect on our lives. We know the way in which a great piece of music, maybe a classical piece, a ballad, maybe even a lament, can have a powerful effect on us. I bet if I said to you, think of a secular song that has moved you, that has just struck a chord with you at a time of significance, I bet already you're already thinking of songs. You know, we always have our, like, the couple's song, don't we? The one that the couples would say, that's our song, that's our song. You know, music moves us, even the secular songs. And I'm not sure I could actually find a biblical evidence for this statement, but I really do believe that there's something about music that just connects with our souls, that we just respond to. And if secular songs can have that effect on us, how much more can great songs with amazing biblical truths just have an impact on us? And again, don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying that the music and the words change us, but they can help us come into God's presence where he can change us, particularly when those words express truths that we've personally experienced. How many of you know that you've sung a song, maybe it's about God's grace, maybe it's about his love, that just echoes with you, and you just go, wow, that, you know, I just remember that time when God did this, and there's something that happens. Okay, but it's important we recognize that, as I've said, worship's not about an experience. You know, we've all heard those phrases, we may even use them before, where you go, oh, I really enjoyed the worship tonight. Or maybe you walk out and go, I really didn't, you know, that didn't do anything for me tonight. I didn't, you know, maybe we sang choruses and you like hymns, or maybe we sang hymns and you like choruses and you go, oh, no. Worship isn't an experience. It's about an encounter with God. And if you want to know whether worship has been good or not, it's not about how you feel. It's not about whether we sang your favorite song or not. Did you encounter the living God, either in your own personal worship or in this time of worship together? Now, of course, worship's not an exclusive way of encountering God. Of course it isn't. But it is a way in which we can. And just, I've got time just to share this story. This is very personal, and I won't make it too personal, as you'll hear as I explain it. But I will just share this because it is very recent for me. A number of us went to worship conference in London only about 3-4 weeks ago, something like that. And on the Saturday night, we'd had a great time of worship, even though most of us only, I think, knew one of the songs that we sang that night. But it was just a time of 2,000 plus people all in a room worshiping God and just really entering into his presence. And there was a point about three quarters of the way through the service when I think whoever was leading said something about just take a moment, as one of the songs finished, to just come before the Lord and just give him the opportunity for him to tell you how much he loves you. And that was all that was said just in the middle of this time of worship. And, you know, Roger will tell you, because he knows, there's only one other time in my Christian adult life that I've burst into tears and been in floods of tears, and he knows when it was because he was beside me the same, without embarrassing him too much. But I have to say, in the stillness of 2,000 people, I was in floods of tears on that Saturday night, because I can't explain it, but I just met with Jesus in a way I can say I don't think I'd ever met with him before, in terms of he just overwhelmed me with his love for me, just as I worshipped him. And my response, all I could do was quietly sob. I'll admit it, as a guy, I quietly sobbed. And in the end, I could just about muster a response to say, Lord, what you want me to do? But there was just a sense of a connection that happened as we worshipped together. So, that's worship. I finish with this other question. What else happens when we worship? Worship is a very personal thing, as I've shared, and I won't actually share all that God spoke to me about during that time. So it's a very personal thing, but it can be a collective thing as well. But why do I also think us growing and digging deeper in worship, running higher, digging deeper in worship is significant in terms of us as a church and us as a town? Because I believe there's something else happens as we worship together. You see, when we worship, we declare truth and reality. When we declare those words before the throne of God, etc., when we worship, we're also declaring, quite often if you pick up, I will say that when we're at the front, when we stand up, I'll say, Lord, it's amazing that today we can declare your truth into the heavenlies and into the town. You see, when we declare there's a greater world. It may seem that everything's upside down in this world, that everything's out of control, everything's going pear-shaped, but you know, actually, that's not the reality. That's the seen reality at times, but actually, the reality is that God's kingdom is near, that there is a king seated on the throne, there is a kingdom, and his kingdom is coming now. You see, praise doesn't ignore or escape from the reality. We don't come into this room and pretend that all the, that's happened to us this week didn't happen. It's not burying our heads in the sand, but it's actually choosing to look and see a reality that is beyond sometimes what we see in our day-to-day lives. It's resetting reality, not escaping from it. When we worship, we introduce this reality into the real world. And I believe that through worship and declaring truths, it brings hope to those who've none. It brings peace to those who need it, and it brings life to all. You see, things are not as they seem. We sing the song occasionally about just one touch, you know, and it really is true that people are only one encounter away from life-changing transformation. And that happened to me at that worship conference. I can honestly say I have not been the same since that encounter with God. And as Jesus said to the Samaritan lady, if you're struggling with worship and also you're not feeling close to God, Jesus said, God seeks those who worship him. And it was Roger, I think, to give him credit, who said this in one of our meetings. He said, if you feel far from God, worship him and he will seek you. If you feel far from God, start to worship him and he'll come and seek you. Can I have the last slide, please? So, three things to look at in our response today. Firstly, we each need to be the kind of worshippers that God desires. We each need to be the kind of worshippers that God desires. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives as truth is revealed. You know, the Holy Spirit will not force himself upon you. you need to give him permission and give him the ability to be able to respond and start to bring those fruits out that we talked about. As we go into a time of worship in a minute, I just say to you, enter into prayer as we start, and just say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to speak to me during this time of worship, to just speak to me and to start to do your transforming work in my life, or continue to do that transforming work in my life. We mustn't hinder the work of the Spirit, but allow him to have free rein, allowing biblical truths to transform us. Secondly, let's recognize that singing and other forms of expression, some of you, if you were at Cafe Church, saw that amazing painting that the guy did that really just spoke to us, and other forms of expression are ways in which we can enter into worship. They're not worship in itself, but they're ways in which we can enter in to give him glory and honor. And let's be prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives as we do so. And finally, let us each declare, by all means, including song, that our God reigns, that there is a greater kingdom, and that this kingdom is near and available to all who choose to receive it, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be the kind of worshippers that God desires, worshipping him in spirit and truth, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak truths into our lives and reveal them to us. As we sing and do other forms of worship, let's give him honor and glory. And let's declare those truths in our own lives, in the lives of those in this room today, into the heavenlies and into the town, that our God reigns. He is victorious. He is seated on the throne. We have a great high priest. We have one who is mighty to save. You think of all those songs we sing. Our God is mighty to save. Your grace is enough. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like. All those truths, right, are true for you, for me, and are true for those who even yet don't know him. So that is our act of worship, to worship him in spirit and truth. We're going to finish today by just giving you the opportunity to start to put some of this into practice. We're going to do a couple of songs. The first one is, if you notice the slide at the beginning where I said, I'll bring you more than a song, is just that song that talks about, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've desired. So we're going to sing that, and we're going to sing this wonderful other song that we brought a few weeks ago, Your Grace is Enough, Freely You Gave It All for Me. And as we sing that, as I say, I just encourage you just to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work. We won't force anything here, but just an opportunity for you to come into his presence and just allow him to minister and speak to you. And as Alan said, I remembered Alan, so I'll say, is if you'd like prayer as well, you know, sometime over the next, we're only going to do this for 10 minutes. Over that time, if you need prayer, maybe go to the back of the room or something and somebody will come and pray with you rather than bring you out to the front. You know, just put your hand up or something at the back where no one else can see you, and one of us will come and pray with you. And just because we do believe that actually the Lord is here today and he can meet with you and change situations. So we're going to just sing together. We'll start with that.